Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
Some breaking news in the NBA as a report from ESPN says the agent for Milwaukee Bucks forward Giannis Antetokounmpo has initiated conversations about whether Giannis' future should be in Milwaukee, initiating those talks with the team. The report says a decision is expected in the next few weeks. Bucks right now in the 11th spot in the Eastern Conference at 9-13. The Clippers let go of interim point guard Chris Paul after he reportedly clashed with players, coaches, and the front office. The Cleveland Browns have opened up the 21-day practice window for quarterback Deshaun Watson. Watson hasn't played this season after aggravating his Achilles injury last January. Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans practicing today as the team opened up his 21-day window to return from a broken collarbone. Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens off the injury report and will play tomorrow in Detroit. The Chiefs-Cowboys game on Thanksgiving Day was the most watched NFL regular season game ever with more than 57.2 million viewers.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Pass Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, California's iconic navel orange arrived in produce aisles right on time this year. Picking started October 9th in Kern County. Be Sweet Citrus's Matt Watkins says absence of a late summer heat wave and cooler October weather helped the crop reach maturity right on time. Navel oranges are harvested fall through spring and often into summer. Early and late varieties spread out the harvest, allowing growers to hit markets when prices are good. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says USDA will purchase up to $30 million in fresh fruit from American farmers to distribute to food banks and nutrition assistance programs across the country. This is made through Section 32 of the Agriculture Act and will assist producers and communities in need. Rollins says certain commodities are experiencing a surplus and USDA is ensuring these crops don't go to waste but help Americans in need. And with the holidays upon us, bird flu is once again infecting commercial and backyard poultry flocks. Civil Eats reports the flu has killed more than 8.9 million turkeys, chickens, and ducks in the U.S. since September, but consumers are unlikely to feel a price squeeze. An American Farm Bureau survey found retail prices for frozen turkeys were down by 16% compared to last year, even though wholesale prices are up 40%.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station featuring the Ag Information Network News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks ticking higher as economic data bolstered expectations for an interest rate cut by the Fed, while a slide in Microsoft stock is weighing on the tech-heavy NASDAQ. Shares of Microsoft are down over 1.5% after a report said that the tech giant has cut AI software sales quotas. Microsoft has denied the report. And the ADP private sector employment reading for November showed that payrolls fell by 32,000 last month when an increase of 40,000 jobs was expected. The report is the last month jobs reading for the Fed before its meeting on interest rates next week. And Macy's turnaround efforts appear to be taking hold. The department store chain reported better than expected quarterly earnings and boosted its guidance for the year and reported its highest comparable sales growth in 13 quarters. Its stock is up 1.5%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. It's your last chance to get exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 35% off. That's Lenovo.com. Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
We see you sitting there, daydreaming about a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. Well, at Chumash Casino Resort, we're giving away over $500,000 in cash and prizes. Everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawing Sundays in December. Need more details? Visit ChumashCasino.com. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you plan holiday parties, make it special this year at Allegretto Vineyard Resort. Whether you're planning a company holiday party, a festive dinner with friends, or sparkling year-end celebration, Allegretto offers stunning views, inspired menus, and warm hospitality that make every gathering unforgettable. Let the team at Allegretto handle the details so you can raise a glass and enjoy the moment. Book your holiday party today, AllegrettoVineyardResort.com. Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Across the country, inventors are coming up with new ways to harness renewable energy sources, and some of the most influential of them want Uncle Sam to stay out. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
The Arab oil embargo of 1973 produced a lot of effects on America, and one of the beneficial ones was a great upsurge in creative research and development of alternative energy sources. Chief among these have been, of course, solar and wind energy. Naturally, there have been voices raised in Congress for Uncle Sam to spend more and more money on developing these new energy sources. But now some of the most respected voices in the alternative energy field are discrediting the arguments for ever-increasing government subsidies. Tom Bender is one such person. He was a leader in the creation of the National Center for Appropriate Technology, funded by the Federal Community Services Agency. But he has become a sharp critic of that organization and the federal funding approach in general. Bender says that government funding for alternative technology is probably not necessary, mainly because so much progress is being made without it. There's a growing awareness, he says, that our problems must largely be resolved by local responsibility and action, and that government money is not free dollars, but only our own hard work and taxes, diluted 5-1 with bureaucratic red tape and control. We always get the best results with our own money, he adds, because we're more careful with it. Local money is second best, and federal money the most dangerous. Another leading figure in solar energy development, Steve Baer, is even more critical. Baer says that President Carter is silly to hand out so much rhetoric about a national energy policy. Baer says there shouldn't be any national energy policy because no one has the wisdom to make one. We do not need a Department of Energy, he declares. We do not need laws governing everything from the car you drive to the windows in your house. Foolish people will waste their money on inefficient cars and badly built houses. Isn't that their business? Leave people alone with enough wealth after they pay their taxes and they will invent, develop, trade with each other, and do a good job of solving their own problems, says Baer. It's a great shame that the so-called energy crisis is being used by politicians to increase taxes and laws, thereby taking away liberties Americans have previously enjoyed. Behind every gentleman working on government research stand the police. I don't think the founders of our country had this relationship in mind. Unquote from solar energy leader Steve Baer. These solar pioneers are right on target. After we've heard so much romantic rhetoric about alternative energy sources, this kind of realism is refreshing, isn't it? This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, we're going to have a great show. I was able to get Deputy Clint Cole, our Detective Clint Cole. For those that do not remember, the Kristen Smart case was a huge unsolved murder case here for decades. They put Clint Cole in charge of the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department cold cases, and he worked for, how many years did you work on that case?
I got the case in September of 2017, so about 5 years before the arrest.
And in the end, as you know, this led to the arrest and conviction of Paul Flores, who they suspected within weeks of the crime happening. But it was after Clint Cole joined the sheriff's office. Following that, he retired for a short bit and wanted to come back and work on cold cases. And so Clint Cole is here in the studio today.
Thank you, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here.
I thank you very much for coming on. We'll talk about Kristen Smart for a moment, but then we're going to get into some of the other cases. There's a very exciting case regarding the disappearance and then murder of two San Miguel children, and they've done some great work on that case. What were What were the hard parts and the good? I know what happened with Kristen Smart to an extent, but what were some of the difficulties that came together when you were working that case?
Well, it's always difficult when you come into a case that's older. We didn't have a body, obviously. That's very difficult, makes things very difficult. We really didn't have a crime scene. Yeah, there was the dorm, but that, most likely was the crime scene. But as far as a documented crime scene in 1996, there wasn't one. And so, there was there was no direct evidence. You know, DNA really wasn't, it was in its infancy stages back then. So there wasn't any type of that mindset by the initial investigators. You know, we didn't have a body, we didn't have a crime scene. There wasn't a lot. And so it makes a case like that difficult. And that's why, you know, you try and look at other things. For example, his interview, speaking of Paul Flores' interview, there's things in there that, you know, where you start building what we call a circumstantial case.
And so you're building the circumstantial case. How difficult was it to get a warrant to go search his home in San Pedro?
You know, when you put everything together from that weekend in 1996 and everything else that was in the case file, it wasn't that difficult. There's a search warrant is a probable cause search warrant, similar to an arrest is probable cause as well, but you don't have to have proof beyond a reasonable doubt to get a warrant signed by a judge. So we had enough evidence pointing to the fact that Paul Flores was involved in Kristen's disappearance, the fact that he lied about many things involving Kristen. He was the last person to be seen with her. We knew he had a history of drugging women and raping women. You know, why in the world would a guy who loved to drug and rape women be alone with a woman who was extremely intoxicated and probably drugged by him? Why would he just let her walk away? So there were lots of things that we were able to develop information from the case. We got a few witnesses from the famous podcast that came forward, and it really wasn't that difficult to get a warrant. Because it's probable cause status.
And can you tell us a little bit about what you discovered when you served the warrant at his house in San Pedro?
When we served the warrant in San Pedro, I wasn't there for the first warrant. The first warrant we served on all family members. So I was in Washington for the warrant for his sister. But as the lead investigator, I knew everything that was going on, and I reviewed all the pictures and spoke to people, later that day. And the house was basically in hoarder-type shape. There were little tiny trails. It was not well taken care of. Black mold had horrible smell. When we served the first initial warrant, we were looking for their cell phones and digital media devices, computers, because we had just done a wiretap, and we learned during the wiretap they were communicating without, in ways that the wiretap could not capture. There's ways that people can communicate rather than the old-fashioned phone call. And so if we get the device, then we have the ability to actually look at the device to see if there's communications on there. And so that's what we were after. And we took all the digital devices of all the family members. Once we went through Paul's, we found some very, very bad stuff where he had been videotaping himself committing sexual assaults, most of which were occurring down in the Los Angeles area. And so that allowed us to then write a second search warrant to look for evidence of those sexual assaults. And so that's why we went back to Paul's house a second time about 2 months later.
And you were able to find multiple victims from the LA area also.
That is correct. So if people followed the trial, they would know that two people did testify that were victims of sexual assault. There were many others. Some did not want to testify, which is certainly their right. In California, we do not force sexual assault victims to testify and have to relive their trauma. So it is strictly up to them. But there were many sexual assault victims portrayed on videotapes. Others called in after, especially after the arrest of Paul Flores. And the judge did allow two, because the law says that you pretty much have to allow it based on what Paul Flores was charged with, which was first-degree murder with during the commission or attempted commission of a rape. So under that case, he's the prosecution's allowed to show prior behavior. And so that's how we were allowed to get those two victims in.
And I think, personally, from what I was watching in the pretrial and in the, I didn't go to the trial, but it appeared that was a very moving to the jury.
Oh, I believe so. Yeah. I mean, they weren't allowed to see the actual videos because that just was grotesque. But, they did hear all of the testimony from the two victims, and it was very moving. It's very sad what Paul Flores did to women, and for, you know, normal people to have to listen to that. I felt very terribly sorry for the jury.
And there was he had multiple bottles of the date rape drugs in his house also, correct?
Yeah, he had two different medications. He had Flexeril, which is a very sedative type muscle relaxer that's when mixed with alcohol can definitely act as a date rape drug. He also had Tramadol, which was a dog prescription, but it can be used, you know, it is effective on humans. Tramadol is a similar type drug that when mixed with alcohol, especially heavy amounts of alcohol, I interviewed a local doctor who, testified that those two drugs mixed with high amounts of alcohol would be indicative of the sedative effect of the girls that we saw on videotape.
And the ones that you interviewed, how did they end up at Paul Flores' house?
Most of them didn't remember how they ended up there. They remember meeting his normal method of doing things was to wait till it was late at night. The bar was getting close to closing. When he knew girls were already fairly intoxicated, he would approach them, find an opportunity to dose them with some sort of substance. And most of them remember kind of talking to him a little bit. Some don't even remember that. Most just remember waking up in his house next to him going, "Who are you and how did I get here?"
And the videos, there were times that, according to what came out in court, that he would put a ball gag in their mouth. And one of the neighbors had told me in the early days she would hear screaming from them, but she said in the last few years she hadn't heard any screaming. But I'm wondering if the ball gag was used for that reason.
Oh, absolutely. That would be the reason I would think that he would use it. And you're right, it was introduced in court. And so it is public information that he would put a ball gag in the victim's mouth when he was sexually assaulting them to keep them silent.
And one of the things, he seems like a serial rapist who tries to drug women. And as you know, people's weight are different. Kristen Smart was a big girl. She was very tall. And it would be very hard to know how someone would react to the drugs.
Oh, absolutely. Not only size matters, but just, you know, what other medications might they be taking that could have an adverse effect to something Paul Flores would give them illicitly. You know, what if somebody already was on some type of, you know, antidepressant or something that he would have no idea? So not only their size, could the amount that he gave them have a traumatic effect on them, potentially even at some point maybe causing death. But if they were on other types of medications, he wouldn't know that, and that could make things worse.
How many women total did you talk to that had some type of bad interaction with Paul Flores?
Ooh, good question. Between the ones on videotape and the ones that called in, I would say that we spoke, it's a safe number would be 20 to 25 women that had very bad experiences with Paul Flores. And that's just the ones that, you know, had the courage to call in or could remember that it was him.
And there were several times, I can't think of the city, where women did report him, but it didn't move forward because they would say, I was drunk and don't remember.
That's true. Unfortunately, there was one victim who we spoke to who had an unfortunate incident with Paul Flores in the mid-2000s, early 2000s. And she was one that woke up in his bed, didn't know him, didn't know how she got there. She left. She went and had did a sexual assault exam. And later, there was a hit from that exam that came back to Paul Flores. Because of her lack of memory, the district attorney's office in L.A. County, for some reason, I want to make sure everybody knows it was L.A. County, not San Luis Obispo County district attorney's office, did not file charges on that case, even with Paul Flores' DNA on that victim.
And that was the Redondo Beach Police Department did that one?
Yes, that case came from Redondo Beach.
And I think I talked to them and they had had someone else had come forward at some point. So it's very sad that it took this many years to get him, but you did get him.
We did get him finally, thankfully.
Because he didn't seem like he was stopping.
Oh, no. I 100% believe if Paul Flores was out on the streets right now, he would be raping women, or at least trying to rape a woman, you know, almost nightly.
What was the most recent case that you came across when you were interviewing women that were in the videos?
I want to say some of those videos were older. I believe one of the newest cases, did you say the oldest or the most newest?
Newest.
Newest. Okay, that's what I thought. So this all started coming to our attention in 2020-21. I would say 2018 was one of the latest victims that was willing to come forward.
And what was the oldest victim that you found?
Oh, boy. It goes back to his high school days. So when he was in high school, he was already starting to do this type of behavior.
Wasn't there a young woman that was woke up on her parents' lawn and said that he had him and another boy had raped her?
There is a case. I know the case you're referring to. And that case was thoroughly investigated by local law enforcement and by us. We redid it. And it's not 100% sure that Paul Flores was there that night. But that's that case. There are plenty of other cases where he was there and we know he was there.
And back to high school.
All the way back to high school.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back with more with Clint Cole.
Before we realize it, we will begin celebrating another New Year. At Davis Body Shop, we have taken part in over 50 New Year celebrations, and it started back in 1962. Over these years, our New Year's resolutions have remained the same, giving you impeccable quality workmanship, always giving you a written guarantee, giving you the very best value, and making sure that your experience is as pleasant as possible. And that includes assisting you in getting your insurance paperwork filed properly. Remember, at Davis Body Shop, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Davis Body Shop has two locations, one on El Camino Real downtown Atascadero, and the other on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet. From the Davis Body Shop family to yours, best wishes for a happy holiday season.
Wesley with Stove and Spa Center. It's finally getting cool and we don't want to leave you out in the cold. Stove and Spa Center has a great selection of stoves, inserts, and fireplaces to get you warm and cozy in your house this winter. Don't miss savings on freestanding stoves, gas inserts, and fireplaces. How would you like being warmer this winter and save money too? It's possible with a fireplace insert from Cozy Heat. Cozy Heat's highly efficient gas inserts and fireplaces come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Say big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Say big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero between Curb Rail and Moore Roads.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
The city of Atascadero kicks off their holiday season with the Light Up the Downtown's Garden Lights and Winter Nights, making the Sunken Gardens area sparkle. This Friday, from 5:30 to 8 p.m., enjoy community entertainment, Santa, complimentary horse-drawn hay rides, hot chocolate, and more. The event begins in the Sunken Gardens and continues throughout the downtown with a holiday sip and shop. Shops will be open late, and wine and beer tastings will be available from participating merchants. For more info, go to visitatascadero.com.
Thank you.
welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have a detective extraordinaire from the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department, Clint Cole. He runs the cold case. Well, yeah, it is extraordinary. You know how many people have tried to solve the Kristen Smart murder case, and you did it.
Well, I appreciate that.
So you get you did do it.
Thank you.
We're talking this first half hour about Kristen Smart. We're going to come back after the top of the hour, and we're going to get into a very exciting North County cold case that they are very close to solving right now. And we'll talk about some of the other cold cases. But you know, so I noticed that they kept trying to make all the objections. You know, object. You can't do this. You can't have these women testify. All the different objections. And then, as expected, there was an appeal to the case, which came in about a month ago, that the appeal failed. I read it. It didn't just fail. It failed miserably. They didn't just say, that doesn't count. They said, basically, are you out of your mind? Let's start first with the argument that they couldn't have the women testify. That they were aggressive on the appellate ruling that they could.
Yeah. So the judge in Salinas did an amazing job of being fair and impartial to both sides, and she ruled by the law, and that's what they're supposed to do. And the law is very clear when you're charged with what Paul Flores was charged with, first-degree murder during the commission of or attempted commission of a rape, it doesn't say you can or may. It says you shall introduce previous, consistent, similar behavior to the jury. And so that's why the appeals court overturned that. So I don't know the proper word, so easily or readily, is because the law is the law. And you are allowed to show previous similar prior acts based on what Paul was charged with.
And one of their other big arguments was that one of the jurors did cry a couple times. And I'm telling you, I don't know how people don't get upset. I sat through a lot of the prelim, and I found it upsetting. When you're hearing family members talk and a young girl is missing, it is emotional. But they wanted it thrown out, said she should have been kicked out. And again, could you tell the audience, what did the appellate court rule on that?
Well, the appellate court ruled the way the trial court judge ruled, in that I was there every day, and yes, that one juror did cry a couple times. I had tears in my eyes a couple times. It's a very sad case. It's extremely sad and a difficult topic to listen to, but every single time that the defense would raise an issue, the judge would do the proper thing and go through all the proper questions and ask that particular juror, have you formed an opinion? She would always say no. She always said she could be fair and impartial. She's not made up any decision. She will wait till all of the evidence is in. And that's all you can ask for anybody. And she always said that. And at the end of the day, that's what she did. And so that's why the appeals court just kind of scoffed at that as well. I mean, her answers were very honest and truthful. She just got upset, as any human might.
And I was quite impressed with the ruling. Again, I think anyone that listened to this and watched this, it isn't just about Kristen Smart. It's about every woman that he could assault and rape in the future, and protecting others.
Oh, 100%. There's no doubt in my mind that if Paul Flores was on the streets, no matter where he might be living, he would be attempting to sexually assault and force himself onto women. There's not a doubt in my mind. There's tons of evidence that didn't get introduced into court to make me believe that.
We're going to take our top of the hour break, And when we come back, we're going to talk with Clint Cole about his a very interesting case out of San Miguel.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.